Hey, make your way to John chapter 5. We're going to be there eventually. I love this study because it's the last study of the year. I love that season. I love the turn of the page. And so it's been kind of a tradition around here. I either get to do the first study of the year or the last study. And this year it just happened to fall on the last study. So we are going to get into this thing right away. And we are just a few short days away from the most important date in human history. If you guys haven't pieced that together yet, we're talking about the birth of Christ, obviously. And the hustle of the season is over. You guys get anything good? Yeah. I love it when people say, you know, I did okay. It's like, what, the birth of Christ, not enough for you? I was kind of hoping for jeans. Well, sometimes we forget that it's true then and it's true now that Jesus is alive and well on the earth. Time didn't freeze at that manger scene. He grew into a small child and a boy into a man and ultimately was crucified and resurrected. The events of that day, though, they begin to fade even like it does for us. All the memories are kind of going away. New memories have been made. The excitement of the day is fading. The shepherds go back to work. The wise men go, I don't know where wise men work. They go back to the wise man outlet, and that's what they do. All of the hype that's leading up to this moment from the angels in the field and the star and all of these things have passed. It's just a few days later. And, you know, it feels like just any other day. Fortunately for us, you know, we know the rest of the story. You know, but for some, there's this bit of a letdown after Christmas. Most everything, most of your friends aren't buying you cards, giving you boxes of candy. They're all gone. Your family, my kids got to come in for the holidays, which is a huge blessing, and now they've left and went back home. Accepted them of a few unwanted pounds and some wrapping paper that you didn't use and some gifts that you have to exchange, maybe some leftovers you're still trying to tackle. But for the most part, Christmas is over. And now we're just moving towards the end of 2019. And don't get me wrong, I mean, the birth of Christ did not disappoint then, and it did not disappoint this year. I mean, I love this time of year. We were just talking before church. It's the one time of year when everyone is thinking about others. You're getting your friends thing and everyone's in this great mood. It's the way it should be, but unfortunately it doesn't last that long. Sometimes though, we put so much expectancy on it. So much hype. Everything has to be perfect. And it really didn't go the way that we were hoping it would go. And we fail to rest in the truth of the scriptures and the wisdom of what God has to say. Isaiah 9 still rings true that for unto us a child is born and a son is given and the government will be upon his shoulders and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I mean, what a powerful verse that we use during Christmas time. And then we lose track of that. You ever met someone who's completely lost track of that verse in their life? Not just the holiday season, but the rest of the year, and it seems like all of the time they have lost focus. That one around you, or maybe you, that seems exhausted, just waiting for God to move, and flat with an excitement that should be there, but just isn't. And we've all had to deal with that personally. We all have those people around us that are going through it. And sometimes it seems that, God is really moving. That he's really doing these things, that things are lining up in our favor. People are responding to Christ. Yet, something's missing. Everything is lining up. Everything is on point, but there's a problem. I can't enjoy what he's doing because I'm so concerned with what he's not. I'm expecting him to do something else. I have a pretty solid mental picture of what I want God to do, and it gets in the way of what he's doing. I mean, can I just remind you this morning that God is still on the throne? Amen. Amen. That Jesus is still Savior of the world. He is still pursuing the lost. He is still healing the sick. His heart for people hasn't changed in any way, shape, or form. And his love for you is great. And his desire for you holds nothing for you but goodness. Not only for you personally, but for the church collectively as a witness to this world. He still wants the church, just as he did then, to be a powerful people who impact our community and our family and our friends with the truth of Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel and all of eternity waits for us to be excited and expectant about what God is trying to do. All of these things are happening, and yet we get so burnt out sometimes. So today, before we get into this new year, I want to take this time that I've been given and refresh us from that weariness. Excite us, restore us in our ability to hope. And to persevere and to have patience, not in our abilities, but in his power and in his glory. The reason for the season is still the reason for the season. It doesn't go away. We might pack it up and put it away, but it doesn't change anything. What a complex an incredible plan God has set into motion. I mean, we all come from different backgrounds. We have different educations. We all have our different viewpoint on things. We work different jobs. We have different hours for different pay. We live, for the most part, entirely different lives. And we may align in certain things, like our hatred of the Chiefs or, yeah. I have to throw it in. Come on. Sorry, Rick. Yeah. You're like, you know, I'm done with this idiot. Well, that's too bad. I have 45 minutes and I'm using every bit of it. We align in areas like hobbies and sports and those kind of things. But for the most part, we don't have a lot in common. Christ, however, has bound us all together is the family. It's the one place that we can look collectively at each other and think, man, we really do have the same viewpoints. We dress different for church. We act different. We listen to different music. But when it comes to Christ and his birth and his death and the salvation offered in that belief, I bet you we're on the same page. And it's a beautiful thing when you think about it. The variance and the diversity that God has spread throughout his church collectively so that we can worship God under the exact roof for the exact same purpose. Because why? Revelation tells us, because you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Why? You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's why we're here, to bring God glory. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our finance, of our efforts. He's worthy of everything we have so that we can ultimately show a lost and dying world the power and the healing that is Jesus Christ. And our lives might always rest in these calm waters that I love so much. Sometimes things happen that puts us in difficult places. Things may get tough at times. Just being alive can be quite stressful at times. Living in this fallen world will bring us deep and troubling conflicts. intimidating events and ominous things that we can't do anything about always seem to loom on the horizon. And the Bible talks about that you will at one point in your life suffer pain. That's an encouraging thought, isn't it? I should write cards for Hallmark or something. That's a great way to start the year. You know, your life is going to turn south. We experience pain, mental pain, physical pain, and those things can stop us in our tracks. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's uncomfortable. Absolutely. It's unpleasant. It's upsetting to our lives. But in the end, that pressure is thoroughly refining. In the end of it all, we learn that Christ uses those things to draw out of us unnecessary things and always leads us better having gone through these things. If we keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the trial or the circumstance or the situation. It's not just random chaos in our lives. It's very specific. It's very purposed. And quite a few of our issues stem from impatience and the lack of a proper perspective. Here's a newsflash if you haven't figured it out. God knows what He's doing. Jeremiah says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says who? The Lord. "Thoughts to bring you peace and not of evil. Thoughts to give you a future and a hope." Inflect that the way it's supposed to be inflected. "I know the things I have for you," says the Lord. That doesn't mean I know the things He has for me. But God says, "I know what's going on. You don't have to." And if He told you, realistically, if you look back at the next year or the last year or the 5 years or 10 years back in your history, and God told you exactly where you'd be at this point in your life, I'm not sure you'd believe it anyway. And so why do we invest so much time? Is I just want to know what's going to happen. Believe me, I don't know if you know what's going to happen. I don't think you should know what's going to happen. I don't think we can handle what's going to happen. If God told you were going to win all this money, if He told you weren't going to leave the building today without a major physical catastrophe, I don't want to know any of those things. It's better really just sit in the back seat like we're designed to, eat our snacks, watch our tablet, shut up, and we'll get there when we get there. Correct? We have to be careful that our expectation and our perception does not get in the way of what God is doing. We can't stop the plan. And man, we can sure ruin it for ourselves along the way. There's a picture painted for us in John 5. Starting there in verse 1. And we'll be there for just a brief moment. "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. And he said, 'Do you want to be made well?' And the sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me.'" And so Jesus shows up at this feast, at this huge event in the city, lots of people there, but we also see lots of issues in this feast. And not much really is known about this pool, other than people would gather there with the hope of being healed. And it may have been a pool in the past where something happened. Maybe someone was healed there and kind of an urban legend grew and here they are. It really doesn't matter why the people are gathered there. What matters is they gathered there. They gathered there because they thought God was going to do something and they wanted their shot at it. And it brings the obvious point to us this morning. Did we show up today expecting anything from this gathering? Did we show up this morning because we hope that God will be here, or we know that God will be here? See, that's two separate things. The Bible is pretty clear that if there's two or three of us gathered in my name in the midst, I am there. That's such an important point. I am there. Not maybe if we get our ducks in a row and worship correctly or align the parking lot correctly or have everything in place, decor, lights, all these things, that God will join us. No, if there's two or more there gathered in His name, He's there. He wants to be here. He is here ministering, moving about in this sanctuary as we speak. Maybe no rushing wind. Maybe no earth-shattering revelations. But man, there was a powerful worship service. If you'll let it happen. If you'll receive it, it's incredible. There's powerful greeting. There's the way that car is parked is absolutely insane. It's amazing that you can drive in here and park your car between two yellow lines. That is a miracle in itself, considering what we've been through in the last two or three weeks in the parking lots of this city. There's prayers for you this morning that God would change lives, and all that is ushered in His presence. We can come in here expecting things to be huge. 1 Kings tells us something just the opposite. He said, go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord, talking to the prophet Isaiah. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire. Notice that there, a still, small voice. And man, that's what I expect when I come to church. I just want God to speak. And sometimes He does great things, but sometimes He just wants to whisper in my ear and speak something directly to my heart. And I know that as I've grown in Christ, that God shows Himself enormous in the tiniest of things in our life. The most unimpressive things bring glory to Christ if we will just see them with the proper perspective. And the more we take notice of the little things in our life, the bigger God gets. But sometimes our mental picture of how we think God should be moving just leaves us frustrated and flat, because we've grown impatient with the timing that God is choosing to use. We've grown impatient and we want something to happen. We don't like the avenue that God has chosen in our lives. I wish it was this other way. Then I would be at peace. We get tired. And instead of more prayer, hoping that God will adjust us, instead of adding more hope and more diligence to what we feel God has called us to do, we just hit the pause button. We sit down. And we grow distant because God is moving. We're not. We have stopped. We grow more tired. It's very cyclical. We grow more frustrated. But more importantly, we begin to lose the expectation. And when we come to these places, just like that man that came to that pool, when we come to these places, man, God wants to do something in our lives. He just doesn't want us to show up, eat some donuts, drink some coffee, and then go about our day. No, God is in our midst for a purpose. And it's so important that we understand that, because God loves you way too much just to let you sit idle and isolated and frustrated. There should be no doubt in your heart by now that God wants the best for you. He wants the best for us. He wants success for you and for your family. He wants to bless you this morning. He wants to answer those questions you have. He wants to give you direction. There is no one on the planet who wants more for you than God Himself. That's why you were created, to bring worship and glory to His image. And that's why it's necessary sometimes we have to reduce. We have to diminish. God has to take His rightful place. The Beatitudes are a great portion of Scripture because it's Jesus really dealing with a heart that has let false expectations get in the way. And He gives us a list there in Matthew chapter 5 about how God blesses. You don't have to turn that over if you want to. You can turn to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. Keep your thumb there in John. But He says things like this. And all these things you guys are familiar with. Jesus says stuff like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after justice. Why? They shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and speak that is evil against you unruly for my sake? I mean, these verses are designed to give us a path to stability and a life lived like Christ. The trouble with the Beatitudes is they don't look very fulfilling on the surface. I mean, who wants to be poor in spirit? Who's prayed that kind of prayer? Who wants to mourn in our life? Meekness doesn't look so hot in the real world. And truthfully, the only time we've ever hungered and thirsted, we're really hungry and thirsty. We're hunger and thirst misdirected. We're supposed to be thirsting for righteousness' sake. Each trait seems negative. God flips it into a positive. Every negative thing about us, those who aren't poor in spirit, those who don't mourn, can be flipped. We're supposed to be poor in spirit. We're supposed to hunger and thirst. And they give us a realistic view of how God really works. They're how God puts the plan into motion in our life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And sometimes we've gone to church so long and we understand our Bible and we read so much and we pray so much and we're doing all the things that we don't feel like we're poor in spirit anymore. We feel like we have tapped out, like we're rich with what God has called us to do. We're rich in the spirit. I mean, after all, I mean, we know things. We can quote scripture. We can quote insight. We can teach. We can admonish. We can do all these things. And instead of becoming a humble spirit and a poor in spirit, we become just the opposite. We start to think, you know, I got this. I know what God would have me say. Man, those are the moments when we become the most dangerous. When we begin to step out in our own. We may have come a long way. We may understand our Bible and the concepts of our Bible, but God wants us to be soft-hearted. He wants us to listen and not be so quick in our decisions without seeking some form of counsel in everything that we do. But if you're poor in spirit, like the Beatitudes say we should be, then you have to listen because you don't understand the things of God. Newsflash, that's us. We don't understand the things of God. The stuff that you think you know outside of Christ is nothing. That's what Paul said. All of these things, everything Paul had accomplished in his life, everything he counted as trash. it's all trash until I met Christ. Until I finally started to do things Christ's way, everything wasn't working. Listen, if you don't think you need to rewind and tune into God, you need to rewind and tune into God. It's not working. When we try to take over, it's not working. It doesn't have any effect. We need to approach God humbly in our lives, asking for directions. It's a very difficult thing, men. Right? Praise God for Google Maps. We can blame it now instead of your wife. My wife is navigationally challenged. She has what I like to call travel dyslexia. And she'll say crazy things. Like, up here you're going to do a little thing. I'm like, what does that mean? We're driving 80 through Dallas. What does that mean? Do a little thing. Oh, she always points me the opposite direction. When in reality, I can read a map, but it's more fun just to yell at her. Listen, we need that direction. If we feel we don't need the direction, reset, because you need the direction. People who move in God's power really don't ever feel powerful. It's just the opposite. You think, man, I think God has called me to this, and we step out in some form of fear, and man, God really does work. It feels sometimes like chaos, and it's supposed to. Like God is going to allow something in your life that's so crazy and so chaotic that He can't fix it. Has that ever happened to anyone? We feel like it does, and we go, oh, it's right there. Sometimes things happen that are bad in our life. You know, realistically, I've learned that I never really know when it's good unless I have seen or been involved with when it's bad. I have no basis to know my car is running well if at one point or another it doesn't run well. And He uses those situations and those imperfections to get us out of there and get Him in there. He wants 100%, and that's unrealistic, I know, but that's what He wants. And there are many ways that God uses to flush out those impurities in our life. Sometimes it's through good things. Sometimes it's through bad things. He doesn't need a disaster in your life for you to change. And I've been around those people who always look at the negative. Oh, God must be telling me something. Something bad happened in my life, so now I can't do this. Well, what about when the good things happen? What about when something good happens? Listen, everything happens for a reason, and we know that. Sometimes that reason is you just did something really stupid. You know, you did something out of the ordinary, and you kind of got busted. It's okay. You join a very broad spectrum of people who've done the same thing. But we can't always look to the bad. We can't always look to the good. If we understand what the Word has to say, they both work for us. It's a very familiar verse, hopefully in your life right now, is Romans 8:28. We know this, that all things, that would imply how many things? That was weak. You guys are like, I'm hoping it's all, but that would imply how many things? All things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Now, if you want to jump out of His purpose, maybe on your own a little bit, but everything works together. Ultimately, we know that God doesn't change. Praise God for that, right? I put this jacket on this morning. I was like, this jacket must have shrunk. You guys ever done that? Like, something's wrong with this jacket. It's because I'm a big fatty. That's what happened. Christmas and Thanksgiving all combined to put me down. But, you know, let's be real. I'm going to stay down. Anyway, it has to be an issue with us. It can't be God, because if God can change, if God does something different, if God's variable, then there is zero hope for me in my life. I need some stability. If anything has changed, it's me. That's why David wrote in the Psalms, create in me a clean heart. Not, please God, return to where you were, but create in me, renew that steadfast spirit in me, make me unchangeable. But that's a process in our life that we can put zero stipulations on. We're not supposed to add requirements of how we think that process will commence. Whether difficult circumstances or smooth sailing should be of no concern to us. Our concern is expectations have to lie in the presence of God, that He is showing up, that He is moving in our life. Keep the big goal in mind. Like Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Maybe. No, that's a terrifying verse. No, that's not the way this game is played. Jesus said it. It's happening. We are the problem. It should be underlined that we are His people. He is around. He is moving, dwelling in us. Maybe you don't feel it, but can I just be truthful? That's on you. That's your misappropriated focus. That's your issue. God would not refine us and put us through all of these things. And believe me, there's refining in the good. But God would not refine us and purify us and get us to a point where we're so empty, now we can start refilling with all this impure and unholy again. We're supposed to be emptied of ourselves so that He can fill, not so that we can refill. Each season of that refinement is supposed to lead us closer, that we would become more content, that we would die to ourselves even on a daily basis, that we wouldn't stop short all the time of what God has because we keep getting in the way. Somehow, after this refinement and after this purification, it becomes our house again. And we begin to put our things back in it. That's why I love this time of season. It's a window. It's a turn of the page. We love that kind of stuff. Well, you know, the gym memberships tomorrow, the next day, are getting ready to go off the chain. It's only $5 a month. I'll never go to the gym if you won't even walk, you know. But we're a people that love to have a reason. We're people who love to have an excuse, like, this is the point. And that's why I love these kind of studies, because it's the end of the year. We have to make room. We have to continue the process. Paul writes, don't you know that? That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. That almost hit me in the toe. Big God, didn't spill or nothing. You were bought at a price. You were paid for by the blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Poor in spirit, lowly, looking for God to speak, hoping for that direction. That's how we glorify God. And just as those people gathered at that pool, then we should come into these services and leave into our workplace knowing that God wants to heal. Sometimes He wants to heal us. Sometimes He wants to heal others. I find a lot of similarities in myself and this man at the pool. This guy was sick for 38 years, going to this thing every day, trying to be healed. And Jesus just asked, man, do you want to be well? I love this guy. I can't. Every time I want to go, someone cuts me off and jumps in the pool. It's a telltale sign of a person like myself and like we get sometimes that has lost focus. And we're so focused on the water. And we're so focused on the place. And we're so focused on the way it should be in our own mind that Jesus is standing right there. We're so focused, the worship was a bad set, or I really messed up this prayer, I wish the chairs were straighter, or I wish that we had... No, we get so focused on the water, we lose track that Jesus is right there. The water in this man's life has become the healing agent. He's completely lost track. It's not about the building. It's not about the worship. It's about God and His power to change lives. I love how Jesus doesn't even identify Himself to this man. He just walks up, hey, do you want to be well? Well, I can't. And he goes, phew. He doesn't say like this big thing of, I am Jesus of Nazareth who has came to heal the, you know, none of that stuff. He just goes all like self on him. Hey, just pick up your bed and go. Long story short, the man picks up his bed and walks away. Big exciting ending, right? What happened then? Well, he walked away. Listen, what this tells us this morning, even though this man's frustrated, even though this man's discouraged, even though this man has lost expectations of even God showing up and he's lost his drive, he's just showing up, laying there hoping, but knowing that he's not going to get in the water because he's just done it so many times. But listen, Jesus met him right where he was without really a transaction taking place. He makes up an excuse and Jesus is like, that's enough. Just go home, take up your bed and go home. So encouraging for us this morning to realize that, man, God knows what's going on in our lives, even though we may not. We don't even know what to ask. I would love to get there, but I can't. Listen, who's lacking the courage it takes. That's a product of a person who's been beat down. He's failed enough. But listen, he's poor in spirit. I would, but I don't have any help. And man, Jesus steps right in. He had landed in this pattern and just kept circling in this pattern of just not expecting anything different in his life. And man, my prayer for this year as we turn this page has been, we have got to stop that kind of mental block. We have got to stop the thing of, well, it's never happened in the past. Don't really see anything different in the future. That is not how God wants to work. God wants to do something amazing in our lives. Amen? Amen? You guys are like, I don't really want anything amazing. I'm happy with right where I'm at. Maybe it's just me. That's the point we should burn into our hearts this morning. It's the point that we should take home with us. It's the point that we're going to close with. That when Jesus shows up, lives become whole again. And here's the craziest thing. Jesus never left. You know, we just become aware again that, wow, the creator of the universe is in our presence. The Son of the Most High God is in our presence. It's not like he's left and has now joined us. He's been here the entire time. Isaiah writes this. Karen, where's Karen at? Hey, Karen. I don't need you. I'm just waving it. No, I'm just kidding. You can come on. I wanted to give you guys a late Christmas present and finish somewhat early. That sound good, Jenny? Yeah. Listen, the truth of the matter is this. Isaiah writes this in chapter 61, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. Not anointed me, but anointed Isaiah. To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me, speaking of Christ, to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to those who were bound. To comfort those who mourn. To trade, to give beauty for those ashes, those things that we have burnt down, the oil of joy in your life for that oil of mourning that's doing you no good, the garment of praise on you in your life for that spirit of heaviness that is just constantly clothing you. Why? Why would God trade all of these things so that you can be a tree, it says, of righteousness. And so that the end of it all, God may be glorified. Listen, that trade is the single most important thing that you need to do. It's just simply trade. The Bible says about casting those burdens. You can just throw them. You don't have to throw them in a spot. Just throw them. And this transaction takes place. As we become those who are poor in spirit. As we become those who know what it means to mourn. As we become those who thirst and hunger for the things of God. When we become those who really understand that God wants something better for us. And we expect those things to happen. Something happens in that transaction. Years ago, that child was born. And that child grew into the Son of God. And that child was crucified. And that child rose from the dead. And that trade, this sinless, blameless Son of God, where God said, I want to take His life. And you can have yours back. That is unbelievable to me. Absolutely unbelievable. And we treat every day like it's just a normal day. When we should be, man, what can I do? How can I serve? How can I show my worship? How can I bring glory into the scope of humanity? How can I show this world that God exists? That trade, that He loved the world so much that He died for it. And He trades all of this. And He takes these things, this brokenheartedness and this confusion. And listen, we're all but finished. But it's a real point. I love that song today. It's real. And if we don't feel it, can I just tell you, it's you. If you feel God has kind of lost touch with you, it's you. If you feel that maybe He's not speaking anymore, that's false. It's you. There's a common theme here if you haven't grabbed it. It's you. God has not changed. The Bible said He's the same then, now, and forever. And so it's us that caused the roadblock. It's us. The Bible says it's our sin that creates these problems. We become blind. We can't hear. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. And God takes all that stuff and He puts us on His path. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Amen. So listen, you guys, just you mind bowing your heads? You can rise if you want. We're all but closed. Everybody just stand up. I got all confused there for a minute. Now you can sit back down. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding. Hey, Jack, you going to stand up or not? As soon as Jack stands up, we'll close here. All right. Listen. I'll train wreck myself. That's okay. It's important. It's important that we understand how God moves in our lives. And sometimes He wants you these great things. Man, I pray for you guys that these miracles happen and all these things. But man, sometimes He just wants that small, still voice to be obeyed. He just wants you to understand that He loves you. And maybe that's an encouragement this morning. Maybe that's a need for you to get things straight. But listen, that's the purpose of His coming. We just celebrated it and now we get to live in it. And that is such an awesome thing. And so this morning we pray, hey, listen, these guys are up here. That's what they're here. That's what they're designed to do. That's what they're brilliant at, is praying and finding out how we as a ministry and how God can move in your life and how we can get to that point. Please don't leave if you need that. If that small, still voice is in you saying, man, just go up and get prayer, then please, man, they're down here. That's what they want to do. That's why we came here this morning, is expecting God to do something different, expecting that we don't leave the same. If you leave the same today as when you came in, whose fault is that? Yeah, you guys. See, you guys are getting it. It's not my fault, because I'm just up here. You know, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. And so if the church service wasn't great for you today, whose fault is that? No, that's mine. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's your fault. Listen, please don't let that season of that gift of Christmas and the birth of Christ just become another thing that we go through. It's the most important decision you can make in your life, is to put yourself away and to follow the living God. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for these lives and these families represented here today. God, I pray you would encourage us today to get that stuff out of there that is not of you. Lord, to fill these things in our life with the things that glorify you. Lord, let's lift up the lives, the families, the issues. Lord, all the stuff, that just the flatness in some of us, Lord, the excitement in some of us, that you would remove those things that aren't of you. You replace those things with things of you, Lord, and you keep us rolling. Keep us moving about, expecting you to move and looking for those ways that we can glorify you in our lives. I just pray for the turn of this year and the fresh start that's coming in 2020. What an awesome season that is. Just kind of wipe the slate clean and start all over, Lord. It's a gift. And I pray we don't miss it. And Lord, I lift it up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.